What's up and welcome to the very first episode of the Midwest Punks Podcast. It's a show where we'll, you guessed it, cover punk music with a spotlight on bands with ties to the Midwest. You always hear about the East Coast and West Coast scenes, but we feel like the Midwest needs some love too. So my name's Carl and I'm going to be joined with Brian. We are both work at Lakeshore Public Radio Studios in Maryville, Northwest Indiana. So that's where we're recording out of. And big thanks to Jose, who's helped us put this together. And a big thanks to our buddy over at JR Brand Goods, who helped us put together a pretty cool logo. So if you go over to our Facebook page, you could see that and keep up with a lot of other stuff. Brian, you want to tell them how to find us on Facebook?
Yeah, find us on Facebook at the Midwest Punks Podcast. Watch out for the other Midwest Punk sites out there. We're the Midwest Punks Podcast. So, come check out the site. Send us some bands, local bands. We want to hear about, punk, ska, hardcore, psychobilly, crazy heavy metal circus music, whatever you got. You send it over and we'll see if we can get it, started. Everybody talking about it. Get the community going here and see if we can't spread the word about punk. So to start off, we're going to do our first show here. We're going to start counting down the bands that Carl and I first got into, interested in punk music with, and it's our top five here. So, Carl, you want to start us off?
Yeah, let's go. All right. So my first band that I would say got me into, and we're going down the top five. So from five down to the number one band that got us into it. First band for me is The Queers. And so that's a band with three members in it, guitar, bass, drums. They started in 1982 in New Hampshire. The name is supposed to be, from what I've read, it's about kind of poking fun at a kind of the stigma that was against homosexuals in that time period. I mean, this was the 80s, so there was kind of an anti-homosexual movement, I guess, going on. And so the band wanted to poke fun at that and kind of put it in people's faces. So they came out with The Queers. They've also been cited as being like Ramones core, which is the Ramones meets the Beach Boys, kind of pop punk. Yeah. But their sounds, their songs, they are kind of funny. Sometimes they're just about beer and girls and things like that. But they also are really outspoken about Nazism and white supremacy, which was obviously a big deal back in the 80s.
And hippies.
Yep. They have songs about hippies too. Not that Brian and I are totally against hippies, but
we realized that most of the songs we're about to play have a lot of anti-hippie things.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about the time, like I said, in the 80s and even late 70s, I mean, that's what these guys were dealing with, trying to play their music. They were kind of competing with other cultures and genres, and most of these bands, too, they have something to say about Nazis, because that was a big thing with the punk scene back then. People would kind of associate punk with Nazis and skinheads, and so there's been a couple movements that have come out of that, specifically being against skinhead and
absolutely
and yeah. stuff. So The Queers, you can hear the Ramones influence in them. I can remember my cousin giving me the one of their albums is called Love Songs for the Retarded, and I remember hearing getting that album and taking it home and listening to it, and just I like the fast kind of music that punk, a lot of punk bands have, and The Queers had it. So it was a little difficult finding some radio appropriate songs, but the two I'm going to go with, the first one is Punk Rock Girls, which you can kind of, what that one's about just listening to the title. So just kind of about their love for the girls in the punk scene, I guess. And then the second, as Brian talked about, is kind of anti-hippie song called Granola Head. Here we go. Yummy, yummy, punk rock girls. Yummy, yummy, punk rock girls. Yummy, yummy, punk rock girls. I wish they were punk rock girls. I don't know where I'm going, but I know just where I'd like to be with my punk rock girlfriend, Yasumi. Let's go. I don't want to be a granola head.
get bad out of a bunk. Wearing flowers in my hair and have a dirty underwear. I don't wanna be a granola head. I don't wanna be a granola head.
So those were the two songs by the Queers, Punk Rock Girls and then Granola Head. Again, just what got me about the Queers was the fast and the fast-paced, and those songs were kind of, they're funny songs, but some of the other ones have some more meaning to them and a little more background into them, but definitely go give them a listen and hear a couple of their albums, and I'm sure you'll find some songs that reach out to you. So with that, though, songs called Punk Rock Girls and Granola Head are kind of, like I said, funny, and Brian, that's a pretty good lead into your first band.
Yeah, actually, unknowns to me, talking to Carl, you know, we picked these songs separately, and being the first punk rock band that really got me into the scene was the Dead Milkmen, band from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They started back in 1983, mostly known for a song called Punk Rock Girl, which I'm going to play here, but being that Carl chose Punk Rock Girls, that was kind of a coincidence. And the other song is actually titled The Thing That Only Eats Hippies. So the...
Again, Brian and I do not have personal vendettas against hippies. It just happens to be what some of the...
I'm not a huge fan of patchouli, but no problems with hippies. But yeah, this band, I got me into punk music. My cousin gave me a bootleg cassette back in... probably around 1988, and I had never heard anything like it before, and it was their first album, or I don't know if that was their first, but Big Lizard in My Backyard, and definitely not appropriate for a kid that was in fifth grade at the time, but something that I was very interested in, and listened to that album till the tape stopped working. So
cassette's a little easier to hide in your pocket from your parents than a CD was, so you had the upper hand on that one.
Yeah, but now that you know, I'm a grown man, I can listen to my punk whenever I want. So yeah, so here's the Dead Milkmen.
One Saturday I took a walk to Zipperhead. I met a girl there. Knock me dead. Punk rock girl, please look at me. What do you see? Let's travel around the world, just you and me. Punk rock girl, I tapped her on the shoulder and said, do you have a bell? She looked at me and smiled and said she did not know. Punk rock girl, give me a chance. Let's go slam dance to a dress like Minnie Pearl, just you and me. Punk rock girl. We went to the Philly Pizza Company and ordered some hot tea. The waitress said, well, no, we only have it iced. So we jumped up on the table and shouted anarchy. And someone played a Beach Boys song on the jukebox. It was California Dreamin', so we started screaming on such a winter's day. She took me to her parents for a Sunday meal. Her father took one look at me and he began. Punk rock girl, it makes no sense. Your dad is the vice president, rich as the Duke of Earl. Yeah, you're for me, punk rock girl. Flower children, let them ride. All the punk
That was the Dead Milkmen with Punk Rock Girl and The Thing That Only Eats Hippies. Yeah, they're one of my favorite punk bands for sure. I've, like I said, got me into the scene, and I'm just always been
top five that got
fan.
You in and still in
yeah,
your top five
I've
today.
Never actually seen them live, and that is the bucket list thing for me. They started playing again back in 95-ish.
Yeah.
They broke up, and I never got a chance to see them. I was in high school at the time, and was kind of bummed about that. So now that they've kind of gotten back together back in 2008-ish, they started kind of doing their thing again. Yeah. And
So you still got a chance.
Yeah, I got a chance. Just gotta find a show.
Yeah.
So who you got up next?
So the number four band for me that got me into the punk music, and it has a little bit of a twist on punk music, but it's a band called The Pogues. So they are like Irish punk music. They were, again, from the 80s, I believe, and the frontman Shane McGowan was really poetic, but a lot of their songs are still political, still humorous, but they used a lot of traditional Irish folk music, and that kind of influenced a lot of their sound, but they definitely had the fast pace going on in some of them, and then they had the slower, like, melody-type songs. I think that's just what drew me in, was just the diversity of their songs, and when you can listen to them, it's almost, you know, storytelling. They definitely got pretty popular though back in the day in Ireland and in Britain, and it was mostly due to McGowan's, like, his storytelling ability through his songs. He had a lot of songwriting experience too, but I definitely would encourage people to go to YouTube and or whatever you get your music on, and hit play on some of their songs, and you know, it'll be hard to turn off for sure. One other thing, if you never seen a picture of Shane McGowan, his teeth are what he's probably most known for. They were pretty horrible looking teeth back in the day. He actually just got them replaced. I remember coming across an article, it was a couple years back, he got them replaced, but it's because he literally had all of his teeth had rotted out of his mouth. But even back when they in their heyday, looking at his teeth, they were pretty bad. He said he just never took care of them, but still, might want to check that out too. So I got two songs by the Pogues coming up. One is, and I'm probably going to not say this right, but Sally McLennan, which is a good song. And then followed by The Body of an American, which is a really long song. So I'm going to trim it down a little bit for us on here on the radio. But it's definitely a great song. And it was also used in the HBO show The Wire, when an officer would get killed in the line of duty or anything. They played this song like in a bar setting, and it was just a really cool kind of everybody come together and drink and send this person off kind of song. So it's really cool. But so here's the Pogues.
Place in this world of ours, where the other man brought strong man's decks, and he had too many powers. So I sad to see the grieving of the people that I'm leaving, and he took their oath for God knows in the morning. We walked into the station in the rain, we kissed him as we put him on the train, and we sang him a song. Sally McLennan. I took the cheers and drank the beers and crawled back home at dawn. I ended up a barman in the morning. I prayed the pump and took the hump and watered whiskey down. I took the booze and horses through the men and drank the brown. I heard the sight of Jimmy's making money far away. Some people left for heaven without warning. We walked into the station in the rain. We kissed him as we put him on the train. And we sang them a song.
Well, I'm thinking. turned and shook as we had a look in a room where the dead man lay. Something Jim's wire made his last trip to the shores where his father's lay. But 15 minutes later we had our first taste of whiskey. There was uncles giving lectures on ancient Irish history. The men all started telling jokes and the women they got frisky. By 5 o'clock in the evening every bastard there was pesky. Pretty well gone away, there's nothing left to say. Farewell to New York City boys, the Boston NPA. He took them out with a well-hung cloud and I often heard him say, I'm a free-born man of the USA. He fought the champ in Pittsburgh and he slushed him to the ground. He took on Tiny Tartanella and only went one round. He never had no time for rights, for drink or dice or whores. But he never threw a fight when the fight was right, so I sent him to the war. Very well gone away, there's nothing left to say. We're Snatcher Joe and an Aaron Gold, my love's in America. The calling of the rosary, Spanish wine from far away. I'm a free-born man, love the USA. Yeah! Goodbye. I remember how I swore that I'd come back to you one day. And as the sunset came to meet the evening on a hill, I told you I'd always love you, I always did, I always will. Fairly well gone away, there's nothing left to say. But say adieu to your eyes as blue as the water in the bay. To Big Jim Dwight, a man of war who was often heard to say, I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA.
All right, so that was the Pogues with Sally McLennane and The Body of an American. Again, I encourage you to go listen to some of their songs. They're really good, really catchy. And they definitely were a band that influenced a lot of bands that are still around now, like Dropkick Murphys, Flogging Molly, The Tossers, Brian, which I know you're familiar with The Tossers.
Yep.
So, but yeah, you got a good one coming up next. So who's your next band, Brian?
The next band that I would call my number four would be the Dead Kennedys.
There we go.
Yeah, they've been around as long as I've been alive. So 1978 they started. They were one of the defining bands in the hardcore.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They had 4 studio albums. So that wasn't really a whole lot of stuff that they produced together. But back when they started in the 70s, there was nobody really doing what they were doing. So they started a lot of controversy with their music. Just the language that they were using and things. And they went through a whole lawsuit in the 80s, and it just wasn't... they actually had a hung jury when they got out of court, but it wasn't a big, you know, time for the punk scene. They were struggling a little bit, but it ended up being that, you know, they kind of paved the way for a lot of other bands. So I think they're kind of one of the godfathers of punk, and when I listen to the Dead Kennedys, it's a nostalgia thing, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely. But, and their symbol for their band is definitely like one of the most recognizable ones.
Always painted on the back of jackets and see them all over.
Yeah, and they, again, like we talked about earlier, they had a lot of songs that were political and had meaning to them. But just you and I were talking earlier, and sometimes just looking at the song title, you'd be kind of like, this song looks a little intense, but when you listen to the words and understand the meaning, they were good at what they did.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things I was going to point out there, because one of the songs I'm about to play here is called Kill the Poor. And we all do not advocate killing anyone, or poor people especially, or really anybody.
Yeah, but not at all.
No killing. But yeah, Kill the Poor is off their album Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables from 1980. And also another song off the same album is California Uber Alice.
Yeah, so, nice.
Yeah, let's give them a listen.
All right.
Hey, it will control you. 100% natural. You will go for the master race and always wear the happy face. Close your eyes and happen here. A big bear on the white horse is near. The hippies won't come back, you say. Then they'll outdoor you away.
Progress in progress is ours once more. Now that we have the neutron bomb, it's nice and quick and clean and gets things done. Away with the sense and enemy, but no less valued a property. The sense and war, but perfect sense. Down on a brand new day. No more welfare tax to pay. A something salem's gonna be flashing a light. Godless millions whisk away. At last we have more room to play. Our systems go and kill the poor tonight. Gotta kill, 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 kill the poor. Kill, 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 kill the poor. Kill, 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 kill the poor tonight. The sparkle of champagne. You try and make scorn to bury again. A life's of the reason you in the ceiling light. Jane Fonda on the screen today. Give it to liberals, it's okay. So let's get dressed and dance away in the night. Oh, well, kill, 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 kill the poor. Kill, 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 kill the poor. Kill, 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 kill the poor. Kill, 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 kill the poor.
So that was the Dead Kennedys with California Uber Alice and Killing the Poor. Kill the Poor, sorry. What do you got for us next there, Carl?
Well, you were talking about kind of being a godfather of punk band, as you know, as the Dead Kennedys were. So I got another one coming up, could say the same thing, the Ramones. I still have a beanie from a knitted hat that I wear.
Seen you wearing it.
Yep. Yeah. And I got that from, I think it was Greenfields in the South Lake Mall here in Maryville, like probably sixth grade or something like that, as soon as I, you know, started getting into all this music. And saw it there and got it, and I still wear it to this day. My wife kind of hates it because it has a big hole and it looks really old and it's starting to kind of string out, but she hasn't gotten rid of it yet, so I hope she doesn't still. But it's the Ramones are definitely a band that really pulled me in. They were fast, they were heavy, but then they were also doing something completely different for that time period. They took from, you hear them be described a lot as like a pop punk or a there's another word that people use for it, but like a kind of poppy version of rock and roll. They combined rock and roll, they combined pop, they combined a little bit of heavy metal. They were really influenced by like Elvis and some of those people. Despite the name, they weren't related at all. They were completely, they were just friends who grew up together and started playing in a band. And they played their first show in 74. And they were kind of synonymous with CBGB's, mm-hmm. the, you know, famous venue in New York. And yeah, so they kind of took the word punk, and it was something that was a little bit of a derogatory word back, you know, before it got a little mainstream, and they just embraced it, and they kind of took it and turned into a little subculture, and it's just grown into what it is. So they're definitely one of the bands that goes down as one of the founding bands for punk. So
absolutely,
but I love their fast sound. I love everything about them, and they're definitely great. And so we're going to take a listen to Cretan Hop by the Ramones and followed by Blitzkrieg Bop. So here we go.
Yeah.
All right, so that was the Ramones. Probably hear them in a lot of different culture stuff. I mean, their shirts are really popular. There's a lot of memes out there where somebody's calling out somebody for wearing a Ramones shirt and ask them to name a song, and they can't do it. But they're definitely a really recognizable band now. They weren't necessarily like that back in the day, but they are one of the, you know, godfathers of punk, like we were saying with Dead Kennedys. So, Brian, so far we got some good ones, I think. Who's up next for you?
Next up, I'm going to go with Bad Religion.
Nice.
In high school, I listened to these guys till my stereo broke in my car, just about. They're from Los Angeles, California. Started in the 80s. They've mostly covered religion, politics, science-type topics. The faster-paced sound.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Not your standard, you know, super radio friendly stuff, but
yeah, you don't hear them on the radio that much.
No,
every once in a while they have a song that comes on, but
I think they had one track that made it, and possibly off their Generator album. I'm not sure which one it was that made it, or was it Recipe for Hate? Not sure.
Yeah, I remember hearing 21st Century,
that one was on kind of around a little bit, but yeah. Basically. They were a band that I've seen live a few times. Best story I ever had about them.
Oh, you did see them live.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, a couple times. Story I have is a friend of mine was, we were standing at a show and she had never been to a punk show before. And we were standing there and just as the music started and the band came on stage, the crowd went crazy and she was wearing a button-up shirt and it just tore every button off of her shirt and she had to stand the rest of the show holding their shirt shut.
those shows can get pretty wild. I actually saw them at Warped Tour down in Indy, probably like 2008 or something like that, sometime around that. But yeah, that I love a good mosh pit, so I'm always appreciative of the bands that get them going. So.
Do you realize what's going to happen when the music starts?
Yeah, I'm prepared for it.
Be on the edge.
Probably got a little bit of weight on your friend who was there. So
for sure,
buttons won't be popping off my shirt.
The first track I want to play is I Want to Conquer the World off of the No Control album from 1989. And Atomic Garden is the second one from the 1994 album Generator. Your labor's through the hurt, but can't assuage temptation. Hey man of science, with your perfect rules of measure, can you improve this place with the data that you gather? Hey Mother Mercy, can your laws bear fruit forever? Is your fecundity a trample or a treasure? And I want to conquer the world, give all the idiots a brand new religion, put an end to poverty, uncleanliness and toil, promote equality in all of our decisions with a quick wink of the eye. And God, you must be joking. In a playpen, but nobody wants to play in my garden. I see the hippies on an angry line. Guess they don't get my meaning. I'm enchanted by the birds and my blossoms. I'm enamored by young lovers on the weekend. I like the 4th of July when bombs start flashing. And I wish I had a shiny red top, a funeral with a big brass bell would cheer me up. Come out to play, and we'll pretend it's Christmas Day. so that was Bad Religion. Those guys are pretty amazing in my book.
Yeah, they play fast. They play fast,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, they can definitely get you going. Wake me up in the morning instead of a cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah, we were just talking that the singer Greg, he's got like a PhD in something with science. So
yeah,
I mean, you can hear that in a lot of their songs,
that
too.
There was he's some sort of a professor or something like that, from what I recall. But a lot of the science stuff, I think, comes from that and just his experience in there. So it's a band I definitely recommend checking out. Go find them on Spotify, whatever, YouTube, wherever you like to listen.
Yeah.
So what do you got up for us next, Carl?
All right. So kind of going with, I feel like we almost, without meaning to, kind of worked our way from old days of punk and we're working our way up to newer. So my number two band is going to be Rancid, which is one of the staple bands in punk too. They've been around since the 90s. They were the first concert I ever went to, and I was able to figure out, I saw some stuff online, figured out that when I saw them, it was at the Riviera Theater in Chicago in November of 2003, and I was able to find that because I knew the other two bands who played with them were Tiger Army and Rock and Roll Daredevils. So 2003, I was probably like seventh grade or something. So definitely probably the youngest little punk rockers. And me and two friends went, and we were probably definitely the youngest people in there.
Find
and
an all-ages show at that type of band.
Yeah, and my dad drove us up there and dropped us off, and we went in, and first time finding out what a mosh pit was like. So that was pretty, it started by seeing in the middle of the crowd, when Tiger Army's playing and stuff, there's a little bit of a mosh pit going, everyone's around just kind of forming the circle, and then Rancid comes out and the whole floor is a mosh pit, and I'm a little seventh grader kid with all these guys moshing around. But punk pits are pretty cool, so get shoved down and somebody's grabbing you, yanking you back up and being like, get back out there. Yeah. I love it, man. I love that feeling. But this is probably my favorite band to this day is Rancid. They have a ton of albums out. They play fast too. I mean, usually their albums have like 20 something songs and it takes them about 40 minutes to get through all those songs. But, they definitely are one of the more mainstream punk bands, but you can definitely hear their roots. They keep it, keep it punk. And, I've seen them a couple more times. Most recently was, in Chicago with, Bouncing Souls played with them and Dropkick Murphys, so that was really awesome. But
yeah, they got a lot of ska influence in them.
Yeah, yeah. And they have their own record label.
What did they start with? Operation Ivy was the...
Yeah, yeah. Two of the bassist, Matt Freeman and Tim Armstrong, both came out of Operation Ivy. Actually, Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, no relation to Tim Armstrong, but they were really good friends. And he started playing with them before he was with Green Day. And he almost became Rancid's guitarist. So think of that. He would have never formed Green Day. And where would the world be without Green Day, right? So, but these guys are really good musicians. I mean, the three guys in Rancid, they each have their own, or Tim and Lars Fredrickson and Matt Freeman, the bassist, they all have like side projects and stuff, from the Transplants to Old Firm Casuals to Tim Timebaum and Friends. Tim Armstrong does a lot of stuff with Travis Barker, kind of bridging different music genres like rap and hip hop and ska, folk, all sorts of stuff. So really, really awesome. I definitely would encourage you to go out and look into Rancid, look into Tim Armstrong. So the two songs I'm going to play, probably two of my favorite songs too, but Radio, which... obviously is about kind of escaping with the music, and Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, I think, had some influence in helping write this song. And then the second one is probably one of their more recognizable songs, Ruby Soho. So let's go. Let's go!
the music, well, I got a place to go. Well, I got the music, well, I got a place to go. Well, I got a place, well, I got a place, well, I got a place to go. Well, I got the music, well, I got a place to go. Well, I got the music, I got a place to go. Well, I got the music, I got a place to go. Well, I got the music, I got a place to go. Well, I got the music. My bedroom wall, have a party up next door, but I'm sitting here all alone. Two lovers in the bedroom, and the other starting to shine. My God, if this place stays.
Second band on, second to last band on this list. First band all time for me, probably Rancid. And it's a good lead-in, Brian, to your next band. I know that these two have kind of a history, and they even have an album where they did something pretty cool. They split the album and did like half and half. So who do you got?
Yeah, NoFX.
Yeah.
From Los Angeles, California. They've been around since 83. Singer's Fat Mike and... The guitarist is Eric Melvin. They have also drummer is El Jefe, also known as El Jefe, Aaron Ebieta. I don't know how to say his last name for certain. But they've been doing their own thing for a long time. They never signed on as like a major label or anything.
Yeah.
They just kind of keep doing their own thing. And one of the most successful independent bands, really. I think they've sold something like over 8 million records worldwide.
Pretty impressive. See them in a lot of posters for shows still. I mean, they tour a lot and stuff, so they're definitely a really active band.
Yeah, a lot of humor in their albums and album covers, a lot of puns, things like that. So they're one of my favorites for certain. Back to this album you were talking about.
Yeah.
So they did this album with Rancid, and it was like a half and half thing. And one of the tracks on the album is one of the songs I'm about to play here. We're not playing the Rancid version, but this is the NoFX version of "Sticking in My Eye." And looking online and talking to Carl, we were having a debate whether who did it better. So you're gonna have to be the judge. Go on YouTube, find the Rancid version after you hear this one, and go on Facebook, tell us what you think. But yeah, so that track, and then the second track I'm going to play is "The Bruise" by off their Punk and Drublic album from '94, and like I said, pun. Ramones, Punk and Drunk in Public.
Yeah. Nice.
Anyway, check them out and let us know what you think. Here we go. That was NOFX with Sticking in My Eye and The Bruise.
Yeah, and Bert, we were kind of just talking right now, too. We found out that the album we're referring to is titled BYO Split Series 3. It came out in 2002, and that's what pitted Rancid and NOFX against each other, covering each other's songs. And it seems like a cool... I wasn't aware of the rest of them, but apparently there's five of them by this BYO record label. They're all Split Series 1 through 5. Some of the other bands that did it, Bouncing Souls, Anti-Flag, Swinging Utters, so sounds pretty cool. Definitely have to check those out.
Yeah,
maybe
definitely.
Maybe that's an episode down the line. It's just reviewing these albums.
Post some on Facebook.
Yeah,
let us know.
Yeah, definitely
find anything.
But no, those are NOFX, man. Good music.
Yeah. So what do you got up next?
So the number one band I'm going to have to say that got me into punk, and this is a band that. And the punk scene, at least, has a lot of kind of controversy around it and people on both sides and stuff. But going back to what really got me into this, and the band that I can recall listening to the most in my old portable CD players and things like that with my headphones plugged into it, Green Day. So Green Day, they started out pretty just young kids, punk, and they were out in California, and they did a lot of local shows. They were doing a lot of things kind of like the CBGB style venues. I know one was Gilman Street. They used to play at a lot. They had a couple albums out. There's three members in the band, Billy Joe Armstrong, the singer, and guitarist Mike Dirnt, who's the bassist. And then their drummer's name is Trey Cool. So that's, he was always a character. He had tons of different colored hair, and that I used to have different colored hair back when I was in junior high and high school. That was my thing, was always dyeing my hair. And I definitely picked that up from Trey Cool. He's still to this day has colored hair most of the time when you see him. One thing I do want to point out that's kind of sometimes when you see them playing live, Green Day nowadays, there's like a guy playing guitar in the corner, and it's always like, why isn't, you know, you see Green Day and most people are probably familiar with the three members, they get all the attention. This other guy is Jason White, and he's toured with them since the 90s, but basically he's a pretty popular musician, I guess, on his own, guitarist. But when they're playing live, Billy Joe, I guess, kind of has a knack for just getting crazy, playing with the crowd, doing a lot of stuff, so he doesn't always remember to play his guitar solos and stuff. So this Jason White makes sure he does. And they've, you know, they recognize him as a member, but apparently he wants to kind of do his own thing. And but either way, they've had their first album came out in the 90s. It was 1039 Smoothed Out Slappy Hours. It was the name of the album, and their album names are always kind of funny after that. Of course, there was Dookie, there was Insomniac, there was Nimrod. They have a lot of, you know, their sound has progressed from the years. But I don't fault them for it. I mean, they're doing what they want to do. You know, they're making the music. It might not classify them as punk anymore, but, you know, I know Billy's said before that he's got nothing to prove, so he's just playing his music. You know, he loves making records, loves playing live. And
did they do a Broadway show or something?
Yeah. They had done a Ordinary World, I think was the name of it. And, it was the Ordinary World was like a movie that Billy Joe did. The Broadway thing was the American Idiot, I think.
So
they've definitely progressed, and he's even done some acting and stuff. But at their core, though, man, they were one of the first punk bands that really drew me in. Their sound, it was fast, and they always had some good lyrics in there. So two of the songs I'm going to play, the first is Burnout, and the second I chose, and these, neither two of these are really any of their more popular ones, but the second song is 86, which is kind of about Green Day talking about how when they went back to their old stomping grounds, like Gilman Street, the music club that I mentioned, after they got a little big, after the Dookie sound album, the punk community, some people in the punk community view them as like sellouts, and so this song's kind of about just having a falling out with people you were close with. But again, they're playing music, man. They're making music, and they're inspiring people, so good for them. So here we go with some Green Day. Let's do it.
Yeah.
There we go. That was Green Day. Again, a lot of different sound over all the years, but definitely one of my top bands that got me into it. And I still, when I want to get a little nostalgia, I go back and listen to some Green Day. It's definitely on my playlist. So if you're not familiar with them, go check them out. Check out their old stuff, the new stuff. Hear it all. So, Brian, that was my last band and my top five that got me into punk rock. And now you got your number one. But before we go, let's just kind of resum up what the show's all about.
Yeah, the show's, I mean, we're trying here to kind of get some local bands, talk about local bands and see what you've got out there. You know, you've got some friends playing in their garage, you know, he's got some stuff that you know, you bands you like to see that you want to spread the word about, you know, let us know.
Local
clubs.
You know, got your own band you're trying to get going, or you play with on the weekends.
That's right, yeah. You got a four track you found at the thrift store and you're recording stuff in your basement. Check it out. Hit us up on Facebook at the Midwest Punks /Midwest Punks on Facebook. You should.
We'll try our best to kind of get you some airtime, and you know, if we can, we'll review an album or a couple songs or something like that. You know, we'll kind of see how it goes. I mean, this is again the first episode, so let's see where it goes. But that's the gist of the show, is highlight some Midwest stuff. But you and I have talked about going back and doing some non-local things, and maybe we'll come back to our top five and do a whole show about some of these guys. We could talk for hours, I'm sure. So
yeah, we'll see. I mean, nobody comes sending us music, you know, we'll just keep talking about this stuff. And hey, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah,
but so you should definitely come to the Facebook page, send us music, and we'll get an email address at some point here, and you can contact us directly. But so the last band that I'm going to do, since we're talking local, is a local Chicago band, Naked Ray Gun. And they've been doing their thing since 1980. I'd have to say, if you're from the area and you've never seen these guys play and you're a fan, go check them out. They're the most amazing show you'll ever see live. Yeah. The crowd gets into it so much. It's just it's one of the best punk shows you'll ever see. The guys on stage are just super humble. You know, Jeff Pizzotti is the singer, and he's always up there just like, you know, look at me. You guys out there that are practicing your guitar in your basement, just keep doing what you're doing, because you can do this too.
Yeah,
and he's always got that attitude, and they're just amazing.
Inspiring, inspiring the next generation of musicians. Yeah. Never know when you're going to get somebody who's going to make it big one day.
Yeah, so this is going to wrap up our show. We're going to play these two tracks, and we'll see you.
Catch you next time.
Next time, yeah. All right. Thanks, Carl. This has been good.
Yeah, no problem. I'm excited. I think we're going to keep this going and do a lot of things and have some fun. So keep tuning in. And now, Brian, let's go out with your top band.
All right, let's do, first of all, Rat Patrol off their Throb Throb album from 1984. And after that, we're going to do Knock Me Down off their All Rise album from 1985. Awesome. So here it is, Naked Ray Gun. Take it easy.